St. Maybelline, my high school was located in a rural, woodsy area of Los Angeles, and it was populated by 600 girls and about a dozen nuns and maybe 20 or so lay women. Those are non-nuns. And so you can imagine how this situation might attract what we used to call perverts. And in the middle of my senior year, several girls reported that a man had, on separate occasions, exposed himself to them near the entrance of the school. Now, I don't remember if these girls were traumatized, but I do remember that Sister O'Principal took it very seriously and called the police and sent a letter home to parents and admonished us all not to go anywhere alone, especially not to our cars or to the parking lot, to the bus stop at night when sports practices and rehearsals ended. And around this time, the drama department was rehearsing The House of Bernarda Alba, a Spanish tragedy chosen for its all-female cast. This was a really depressing play about a cruel matriarch who oppresses her five grown daughters and drives the youngest one to suicide. And I remember the last line of the play was, "She died a virgin." And I had a great part. I was the wily old servant, and I just overacted in every scene, and life was good. These plays were directed by Sister Pat, who was a very intense, ambitious woman, and we had lots of rehearsals, nights and weekends, and our plays turned out well, and our theater department was very well regarded in the community, and all because of the dedication of this one woman. And she felt the need to kind of lay down some new ground rules after the pervert incident. And so now when we rehearsed, we were not allowed to leave St. Maybelline Hall to go to our cars or lockers or to the bathroom, which was in a separate building, without permission. And we had to always use the buddy system. And so we were just remaining in the hall, doors closed and locked during rehearsals. Well, one night I found myself backstage waiting to go on, really having to pee. And I knew I was supposed to ask permission, but I also knew that Sister Pat might blow up at me if I interrupted her while she was directing a scene. So I decided to take my chances and sneak out the back way through this little alley to this other building where there was a bathroom. So this is what I did. I snuck out the back door, the backstage area, and then I put something in the door so I wouldn't lock myself out and close the door again. And now I'm on the top of some cement steps, like four or five steps, and it's dusk out. It's not dark. I can see. And I turn around, and there standing in the alley below me is a young man looking up at me, smiling, and he's cute. He's got wavy blonde hair and big eyes, and I figure he's someone's older brother waiting to drive her home at the end of rehearsal. And we just say hi. We don't have a conversation. And I just walk past him, and then I go maybe 30 feet to this row of classrooms, and the bathroom's on the end. Now, the bathrooms at our school had these double sets of heavy doors. And so I pushed through the first one, and I flick on a light, and then I push through the second one. Now I'm in the bathroom, and it's empty. And I go into a middle stall, and I sit down, and I'm doing my business, and I hear noises at the window. And I think, I wonder if there are birds building nests out there or something. I can't see the window from where I am. And then I wrap things up, and then I open the stall door, and I step into the room and immediately see out of the corner of my eye that the young man from the alley is coming through the window. I can see his head and one arm dangling down. It's kind of a transom window. It's awkward for him. But, a determined person could get in, But he kind of just freezes there. And I decide in a split second to pretend I hadn't seen him. Not sure why. And I just decide this is the best course of action. Maybe I was just trying to avoid an interaction or, getting him riled or something. I'm just going to pretend I didn't see him. And my heart is pounding, but I'm very calmly, on the outside, very calmly just strolling to the sink. And I actually wash my hands you know, using that scratchy powdery soap, I wash my hands and then dry them on that one of those scratchy brown paper towels, and I throw the paper towel away and I walk to the door because I'm an actress. And I go through the first door, and now I'm in that little space between doors, right? I'm in that little tiny enclosed space, and I lose it. Because it's occurred to me that that guy had time to jump down from the window and run around to the end of the building and intercept me before I could go the 30 feet to St. Maybelline Hall. And I just start screaming. And I burst out the second door, screaming my head off, and I run the 30 feet. Now, I don't go to that door I came out of because the closer door is on the side. There's double doors on the side of St. Maybelline Hall. And so I make a beeline for these doors, screaming my head off, and I grab the handles and I pull, but it's locked. Of course, to protect us girls from the pervert. So now I'm beyond hysterical, and I'm laughing and crying at the same time, pounding and kicking the door, let me in, help, help. And of course, somebody inside hears me, opens the door, and I go stumbling into the room. And everybody, rehearsal stops, everyone gathers around, like 30 girls and Sister Pat gather around. What's wrong? What happened? And I splutter out my story, and when I'm done, some of the girls sort of giggled nervously, and others looked horrified. Sister Pat looked very serious. And she said, "Everyone sit down. I need to talk to you." So we sit down, and she says, "It's very, very important that none of us tell anyone what happened here tonight. You can't tell anyone what happened. Because if parents, if Sister O'Principal finds out, then rehearsals will be canceled, and then our show will have to be canceled. We would have no show this year. Do you want that to happen?" So we all agree not to tell anyone about the bathroom guy. She has to double check with me. I think she knew that I'd really enjoy this kind of attention. Crying in the principal's office, telling my story to the police, I would love that. But I promised, I swore I would never tell a soul. And we just resumed rehearsing. And, looking back, I think, now, why didn't someone say, "Excuse me, Sister Pat, don't you think it'd be a good idea for Jean to get a description of this guy to the police so maybe they could catch him?" Or, "Sister Pat, don't you think we'll feel bad if someone actually gets attacked? And we maybe could have prevented it." No one, I don't know if anybody thought to say it, I didn't, but nobody said it. And I think for two reasons. One, Sister Pat was such a formidable person, and we were trained to be obedient. And two, a lot of us lived for the theater. I did. And I was especially excited about this play because I had like a million lines, and I was going to get to wear old age makeup and white shoe polish in my hair. I didn't want to miss out on all that. So that night, and for many nights afterwards, I double-checked the window in my room, and I lay in bed watching the window as I fell asleep, and I'd always been subject to nightmares, and they got a little worse after that. But my fragile psyche wasn't the only thing damaged by that incident. My relationship with Sister Pat was never the same again. This woman I had admired and tried to please for 3-4 years now, I just started kind of pulling away from her, because that was proof of something I'd always kind of suspected, and that was Sister Pat cared more about her plays than about her students. And in case you're wondering, I never got to compare notes. I wasn't allowed to, compare notes with the girls who'd seen The Flasher. So I don't know if that was one and the same pervert. But I don't think he or they was ever apprehended. Thank you.